Al Goss and a passenger are lost in a T-6 crash. Two Navy pilots are safe after a mid-air collision. And the FAA issues a bulletin for Skymasters with wing mods. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, March 18th, 2010. Officials have now identified the passenger in a T-6, piloted by veteran Reno racer Alfred Goss, that went down in a remote area near Highway 58 outside Bakersfield, California, yesterday morning. KBAK-TV reports the 68-year-old Goss was flying with 54-year-old Stephen Ballard of Anchorage, Alaska, when, according to witnesses, the plane hit the ground hard and came to rest in a drainage ditch, but scattered burning debris over a wide area. Watch for updates at aero-news.net. An investigation is underway. The Navy has confirmed a mid-air collision between two FA-18 Super Hornets on March 15th during a training mission over the Fallon Range Complex. The service says one of the pilots landed his damaged aircraft safely. The other bailed out before the aircraft hit the ground in a remote area east of NAS Fallon. He was released from a medical facility after evaluation. The cause remains under investigation. Based on its preliminary investigation of a February 15th accident in Monmouth, New Jersey, the FAA has issued a special airworthiness information bulletin for Cessna 336 and 337 Skymasters with certain wingtip modifications. The accident aircraft was found to have lost about 6 feet of the right wing before hitting the runway during what witnesses described as a low pass. All five people on board died. The plane had two separate wing modifications, both of them STC'd. One extended the tips, the other added winglets. The investigation turned up reports of wrinkled skins, working rivets, cracks, and loose wingtips on other Skymasters. In its new bulletin, the FAA recommends watching for anything loose, excessive bowing of the tip extensions, and cracking of the wing skins. There's a one-time inspection recommended within the next 100 hours. Find the details in the text version of this story, dated March 17th, at aero-news.net. Avadyne has alerted customers to a discrepancy in its Integra Release 9 software and says that until the fix is released, users should not rely solely on GPS for navigation. Avadyne says it has determined that the R9 GPS module may erroneously report a status of SBAS monitored, resulting in a failure to meet TSO integrity requirements in some cases, possibly accompanied by position errors or false integrity alarms. While no position errors have been reported in the field, revised software is being expedited. Until upgraded to version 9.0.2.2, users are cautioned to file flight plans using only approved VHF nav aids and file only ILS or VOR approaches, not GPS and not DME unless a separate DME system is installed. You should also continuously cross-check all distances, which Integra derives from GPS, against VHF nav aids during all phases of flight. Up next on ANN, Congress steps into the through-the-fence battle. General Dynamics gets a contract to update the FAA's telephone network. And Zero-G comes to Washington, D.C. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your aero briefing for March 18th. I'm Paul Platt. The FAA's recent tougher stand against through-the-fence access to airports is kind of hard to figure out. The owners of hangar homes obviously don't like it, but neither do the airports or the surrounding municipalities. The FAA has claimed a problem with noise complaints from homes near airports is driving the policy, but has failed to produce any complaints to back up its position. Now, with all these constituencies aligned against the FAA's arbitrary policy, the U.S. Congress is stepping in. The Community Airport Access and Protection Act of 2010 has been introduced in the House by Republicans Sam Graves of Missouri and Leonard Boswell of Iowa. Republican James Inhofe of Oklahoma has introduced a companion bill in the Senate. The bill would preclude the FAA from declaring an airport to be non-compliant with federal grant obligations just because of a through-the-fence agreement. Throughthefence.org is urging pilots and other interested parties to contact your federal lawmakers to support the bill. General Dynamics has landed a contract worth $228 million over 10 years to transition the FAA from its legacy telephone system to VoIP. FAVES, the FAA Administrative Voice Enterprise Services Program, will require sustaining the current PBX-based system until the new one is up and running. The system serves 64,000 users across the U.S. and its territories, and in Germany, Belgium, and Singapore. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez can't keep his F-16s in the air anymore due to the U.S. embargo on aircraft technology imposed in 2006. That embargo also stopped him from buying training and light attack planes, which include U.S. technology, from Embraer. So he deals with China and Russia instead. China has delivered 6 K-8 jets to Venezuela, which the Chavez government says will be used for defense and drug interdiction. He has 12 more on order. He's also purchased 10 radar systems from China and other fighters from Russia. Zero Gravity Corporation's G-Force One will be coming to Dulles International Airport April 3rd to offer its famous weightless experience. Each flight includes 12 to 15 parabolas, each of which allows passengers to experience reduced gravity or weightlessness for about 30 seconds at a time. Zero-G flights are often associated with Cape Canaveral in Florida, but the company also flies from Boston, Honolulu, Las Vegas, L.A., Miami, and Seattle. Zero-G says it is the only FAA-approved provider of commercial weightless flights. Still ahead, SpaceX lands another customer for the Falcon 9. Purdue's aviation program will have FDM on its training fleet, and the C-5M is honored for a new record. You're listening to AeroNews.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wasp GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wasp GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, March 18th. I'm Paul Plagg. Space Exploration Technologies, a.k.a. SpaceX, has received another vote of confidence. Space Systems Loral has signed an agreement for the launch of a satellite aboard a Falcon 9 rocket as early as 2012. The launch would happen at Cape Canaveral, and the satellite would be inserted into geosynchronous transfer orbit. SpaceX President Gwynne Shotwell noted, quote, "With 24 Falcon 9 flights now in the manifest, SpaceX has established itself as an excellent partner for both commercial and government customers, and we look forward to supporting Space Systems Loral on this launch," unquote. John Celli, president of Space Systems Loral, notes this is not as risky as it might sound. Quote, "With numerous Falcon 9 launches on the manifest over the next 2 years, we are assured of a successful flight history in advance of our mission," unquote. GA-FDM announced at the National Training Aircraft Symposium this week that Purdue University's Department of Aviation Technology is factory equipping its fleet of new Cirrus training aircraft with GA-FDM's predictive flight data monitoring and recording systems. The GA-FDM system is already used by corporate and air taxi firms and is modeled on the FAA's Flight Operational Quality Assurance Program used by airlines to improve safety and training and reduce operational costs. In its GA implementation, FDM works by recording dozens of channels of data during each flight, then automatically uploads the data afterward to secure servers for analysis of everything from engine parameters to airframe stresses. GA FDM says its experts can even recreate the flight in simulators for additional scrutiny. Purdue reportedly becomes the first accredited collegiate flight training program to use GA FDM system. And finally today, the C5M Super Galaxy was honored last week by the National Aeronautic Association for setting one of the most memorable aviation records of 2009. The C5M now holds the mark for greatest payload after a September 13th flight with pallets totaling 176,450 pounds. That weight is more than any other Air Force airlifter can carry, and it's still only 62% of the C5M's capacity. So why the sandbagging? Why not set a record that would last forever? Well, that same mission set a total of 41 world records, including time to climb in that payload class. No sense compromising climb rate if you're already loaded past the record. By the way, the old payload record was 161,023 pounds, set in 1993. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, 2008 National Instructor of the Year Max Trescott weighs in on those controllers at JFK who let kids talk on the radio. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.